I'm not going to make any comments at this time with regard to the passing of Everett. I put a brief paragraph of some thoughts on my part in the news and notes right after the announcement of the of his passing, and I'll let those comments stand at this time, as we all certainly remember Everett and the family in our prayers. It's good to have visitors with us, some on for a sad occasion, some for a happy occasion. Some of our young people have graduated from high school. Some possibly will do so this afternoon. We'll see. And we do appreciate the presence of each and every one of you this morning. We have been examining the things that are said by Peter over in 2 Peter, the first chapter. He said there to give all diligence by adding to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control. To self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. We're taking each of these particular points at a time. Sometimes it'll be an entire Sunday morning and evening. Today it will all be done on the Sunday morning time. As we continue, having looked at self-control last week, we are examining the matter of perseverance this morning, and what is involved in perseverance. A story was told about a man who was a long-haul trucker, and he stopped in a cafe, just a little kind of greasy spoon along the highway, and he'd ordered himself some fries and a hamburger and a milkshake, minding his own business, just like Marlon would do when he's out on the road. Well, these three tough Hell's Angels in their leather jackets came in. And of all the people in the restaurant or cafe, they decided to come up to him and surround his table. One of them picked up the hamburger and took a bite of it and said, "That's pretty good." Slammed it down. Truck driver didn't say a word. Another one came and grabbed some of the fries and started eating them and threw what he didn't finish eating down. Truck driver didn't say a word. The other one took the milkshake, and he took it and just took a big old slurp of the milkshake and said, "That's pretty good." Set it down. Truck driver got up, took his ticket, went up to the cash register, apologized to the woman about the men's behavior, and paid his bill, left her a tip. She was astonished by it, and so she followed him as he went out, and he got in his truck and he drove off. Hell's Angels came up to her and started belittling the man. Said, "Not much of a man there." She said, "I don't know what kind of man he is, but he's a lousy truck driver. He just ran over three motorcycles as he was leaving the parking lot." Perseverance. Perseverance is the idea of abiding under pressure. Self-control is what's used in some of the translations when we talk about this idea of perseverance. It is that sense of learning to be patient as things are happening within our lives. How many times have you found yourself stuck in a traffic jam and you just want to take that wheel and shake it so bad? I've been known to do that. How many times have you been in a grocery line? I was at Lowe's yesterday. Every one of those lines had over three people in them. I was going nuts. Finally, somebody opened a lane. Now, this is just a brag on the preacher. And I was the next in line, and there were two people on the line beside me with one item each. They'd been in this line. I said, "Why don't you two come over here and get in front of me?" That's not typical of me. I'd have told them to wait their turn. But impatience, lack of self-control sometimes, it can get in the way of who we are and what we're to be. Like, I'm getting impatient with why these screens are moving ahead when they shouldn't be. Are you doing this? Just as a quick aside, one time I accidentally, you know, there is a feature on your slide presentation where you can let it do it automatically. And I had inadvertently clicked that, and it was on zero. The slides were done in about 3 seconds, and that was about 60 slides. It just went slash, 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 slash. Fortunately for everybody, I went ahead and preached the lesson of the entirety. Back to perseverance, patience. It's all part of maturity. It's all part of learning to be a mature Christian. There's an interesting story told about a young Christian who came to an older Christian one time and said, "Brother, I want you to pray for me. I want you to pray that I get patience within my life. I need it so badly." And this older Christian said, "Let's just bow right now together here at the side and let's pray about it." And they bowed, and the older Christian said, "Father, I pray that you bring this man tribulation to test him at work. I pray that you bring him tribulation to test him in the world around him in his neighborhood. I pray that you bring him tribulation in his family that will test." And finally, the young Christian interrupted and said, Wait. I didn't ask that you pray for trials. I asked that you pray for self-control for me, for perseverance." And the older man very wisely said to him, "How do you get self-control? How do you get perseverance? It's because of the tribulations that are around you and how you learn to deal with them." And that's the truth. And while we sometimes want some quick way of getting around the problems before us, we want the patience without the character-building events that bring it into our lives, we are going to find that if that's the route we take, we're really not going to be learning about patience within our lives at all, in any way whatsoever. I think that as we think about this matter of perseverance, we recognize that it's important. If you'll open your Bibles to 2 Peter there in the reading, I want to read just a couple of other verses past what we had read with regard to the graces there in 2 Peter chapter 1. When you start at verse 8, 2 Peter 1 and verse 8, he says, notice, "For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Perseverance is important within our lives. Self-control is important within our lives because indeed it helps us to bear fruit. It is that which is going to help us to endure to the end and not fail in our service to God. It's going to be that which allows the abundant entrance into the eternal life with Jesus Christ. The thing I love about that particular passage of the abundant entrance there in verse 11 is that there are people who have been raised, and I was one of them, my wife was one of them, was raised with a whole diet of preaching that you only made it to heaven by the skin of your teeth. That's not what this says. This says that the entrance to eternity, eternal life with the Lord on the day of judgment, is going to be abundant. Now we think about the narrow way and the broad way. Jesus was making a different set of illustrations there in Matthew. Peter is saying the way to the crown of life for those who are children of God is going to be wide open. You're not going to get in by the hair of your chinny chin chin. You're not going to get in by the skin of your teeth. You're going to get in by the grace of God. And that's why we should have joy here on earth as we're serving Him and as we're walking in the light. We need to consider as we observe these various graces that we have been talking about the actual value that is found within them. You know, when Jesus says there in Luke the 21st chapter in verse 19, "By your patience possess your souls." Having a brave and a quiet demeanor, a patience in face of difficulty, in the perplexities of what Satan often tries to turn and twist within our lives, to allow ourselves to have an attitude that says, I am going to press on no matter what others might be doing. I'm not going to let things get in the way of those things that I'm to do to serve God. And in doing so, there is that possession of our souls. Not that we are working our way to heaven and it's not the grace of God, but it's our good works. No, it is the natural result of developing perseverance that allows us to indeed know and understand the totality of the grace of God within our lives. The Hebrew writer tells us in the 10th chapter, verse 36, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. That's what we keep in mind as we go through life. That's what we keep in mind as we have hiccups that arise within our lives, as we have difficulties that are thrown in front of us and we need to find a way around them. It's perseverance, endurance that allows us to do that. Paul said in Romans, the 15th chapter, in verse 4, for whatever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So we don't just bury ourselves in the New Testament. We go back and look at the Old Testament, because we're going to see some examples even this morning. We're going to see some examples that will show us the value of what was happening in the lives of the people there in Old Testament times as well. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, verse 11, but you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. That's our true pursuit as children of God. There are a couple of lists. We've gone through them in the past. We went through the Galatians 5 list of the fruits of the Spirit. We're going through the list here in 2 Peter of what we've come to know as the Christian graces. And here again, Timothy is being reminded of just what it means to mature as a child of God in that sense of perseverance, if you will. When we get right down to it and we want to talk about a definition, it is the idea of abiding under. It's the idea of abiding under pressures. It's the idea of having a character about us that is going to be unwavering when we have deliberate difficulties presented to us, whose purpose is to take us off our walk with the Lord. And Satan's going to do it. Satan's going to try it. And he's not going to stop. And I realize that within the Scriptures there are times in what may appear to be paradoxes, where we are to flee from Satan and he'll leave us alone, but there is also the warnings of the fact that he is the roaring lion seeking to devour us. I think what the Holy Spirit was wanting through the various writers that use these analogies, what he really wanted us to do is this. Understand there's victory over sin on this earth, but never forget that Satan never forgets who you are. And always wants to devour you. And we find then the equilibrium in what that's about as a child of God, as we're striving to understand that abiding under. We're striving to understand the fact that there is a positive resistance to the devil that we learn, and it's based upon a conscious submission to the will of God. What do I mean by a conscious submission to the will of God? Most of the folks here have known that I've made the point before. There are times you may simply submit to the will of God because that happens to be the course you plan to follow anyhow. What's more important is when you submit to the will of God, when in fact the things in front of you are things Satan has thrown out there to cause you to be destroyed. I didn't want to use the word stumbled or fall. I mean to say Satan wants you to be destroyed. He wants me to be destroyed. And what I've got to be willing to do, what I have to do if I'm going to have this perseverance within my life, this willingness to abide under the pressures that Satan would want, I want the holy will of God in my life. Ultimately, that's all I want. is the holy will of God in my life. I don't want the will of Joe Shane in my life. I don't want the will of what I want. That's what I have to attain to. And that's what you have to attain to. You don't want what you want in your life. You reach a point of perseverance, you reach a point of abiding under to where you want what God wants for you in your life. And that's going to define who you are to your spouse, to your children, to your neighbors, to members of the congregation, to your friends. Paul told the Romans in the 8th chapter, verse 25, "But if we hope for what we have not seen, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." That's how we develop it. Those trials and tribulations. And therefore, did things go the way I wanted them to this past week in certain areas of life? No, they didn't. Did things go the way you wanted them to in a Bible study that you may have had, or a spiritual conversation you had with somebody in the past week? No, not this time. But if you are persevering, if you're abiding under the pressure, you recognize that with the will of God and the help of God, you are going to persevere. I said we were going to look at some examples, and one is this Old Testament example of Job. Job is an interesting read in the Old Testament, and the Lord willing, in a year or two, we're going to study that particular book here in the auditorium. James makes this comment in the 5th chapter of James, verse 11. "Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job, and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful." Consider that passage about the man whom Satan had questioned his validity, his authenticity in his love for God. And God allowed these trials and tribulations to come upon Job. How severe were they? Loss of children, loss of wealth, loss of good health, and a wife who, rather than being a helpmate, simply said, "Curse God and die." And then he's blessed with three friends who come and sit with him and kept their mouths shut for a while and finally said, "My good friend, you know, if you hadn't done so much sin, this wouldn't have happened to you." Which was not the truth. And yet Job persevered during this time when his body was full of those boils and his friends were coming at him from different directions, even having him get to the point where he said, "If I could just have a debate with God, if I could just let God be the prosecutor and let me defend myself before Him." Here's what's interesting about Job, that I think is interesting about Job, is that while God said, "Consider my servant Job," and He's talked about very favorably in Scripture, who repented at the end of Job? Job. Wait, he is this hero at the beginning. His friends are the ones tearing him down. And yet at the end, God calls on him to repent. Now, he called on all of them to repent, but only Job repented. So whatever was going on in that book, and if you're around in a couple of years, if I'm around in a couple of years, we'll talk about it. What you'll find is things were exposed that showed Job the work he needed to do in the perseverance within his life. The reading in Job 42. "And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then all his brothers, all his sisters, and all those who had been his acquaintances before came to him and ate food with him in his house, and they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversity that the Lord had brought upon him. Each one gave him a piece of silver and each a ring of gold. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 female donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. The latter was better than the beginning. And it's because he learned perseverance and stands as an example. I want to use Jesus for just a moment as an example, recognizing that sometimes it's easy for us to be dismissive about Jesus. And that may sound like a strange thing to say. What I mean is, well, he's the Son of God. What do you expect? Well, here's what I expect from the Son of God: to set an example for me that I can learn from him, that I can gain strength from him, that I can be comforted from him and understand perseverance. And that's why he is able to do that. Peter said in 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, 21 and 22, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth." So we've got a right to look at Jesus and find him as the example that he is. The Hebrew writer goes on in 12 and 2 to say, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and was set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Jesus Christ is an example for us of one who persevered under the pressures of life. And it is not fair, it is not right to dismiss what he did simply by saying, "Well, yeah, he was the Son of God." No. He was the Son of God. And yes, he persevered, and I can draw from his persevering to be able to persevere within my life. And then we have Paul, the third example I wanted to share with you this morning. When we think about Paul, we are looking right now in 2 Corinthians as he defends his apostleship, among other things. He says there in chapter 6 and verse 4 of 2 Corinthians, "But in all these things we commended ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulation, in deeds, in distresses." For all the difficulties that he faced, the problems that he had, they were listed for us in other places in the 11th chapter that we'll not turn to this morning. The drownings, the beatings, the scourgings, left for dead, etc. In 12 and 12 of 2 Corinthians, "Truly the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you with the perseverance in signs and wonders and mighty deeds." He basically said, "I did it. I was able to overcome." And yet, ultimately, what did God tell him? Over in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10, he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in deeds, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. When I am weak, then am I strong." I have not always had that attitude about my journey with the Lord among mankind. And I suspect the rest of you would say the same. But I would hope each and every one of us are working toward abiding under the pressure of persevering in our service to God, in our relationship, just as Paul did, just as Jesus did, just as Job did. This, my friends, is indeed a must. We must be willing to take control of our lives, even when the road seems dim, even when all the frightening things of the unknown are about us and we're not sure what exactly is going on in our lives. And that's what I meant to depict with the picture on the screen through the lesson. We need to persevere, because it's going to prevent stumbling. 2 Peter 1, verse 10. "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble." It's a command. God commands it of us. We see it implied, inferred, in the very text that we're studying in this little series. But notice what Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:11. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, perseverance, patience and gentleness. God expects me to keep myself sexually pure. God expects me to persevere in life. God expects me to keep myself pure with regard to the abuses of drugs and alcohol, etc. God expects me to gain control of and persevere in the things of life. You see, as with many of the things we've been talking about in this mini-series, these things are mentioned among some things that we often want to call horrible sins, but in fact, it simply shows us how important it is before God that perseverance develops within our lives. I think it shows us an act of faith, as Peter or Paul is pointing out to Timothy. And it is how we're going to endure. If we allow ourselves to be crushed by the trials of this life, the difficulties, the disappointments that arise, Satan will make sure that that crushing becomes a crippling blow to us spiritually. We can endure. Love certainly is a part of it there in 1 Corinthians 13 and 7. Bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. Have you become that kind of person in your love relationship with God and with others? I know there are a number of things beginning at verse 4 and coming down to 7. But when you get to verse 7, you're really getting to that application within your life about how perseverance is working hand in hand to bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, and endure all things. Where do you stand on that list? Paul told the Romans in the 5th chapter, verses 3 and 4, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. That's why the old man, the old Christian, took the young Christian and knelt down together and said, God, bring on him tribulation. God, bring on him pressures. God, bring in on him difficulties. Why? The young man wanted patience. He wanted perseverance. Paul says that's what we've got to do. That's how we're going to endure. James, in the first chapter, in verses 3 and 4, says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its complete, perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. The Hebrew writer tells us over in Hebrews 12 and verse 1, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, you got to go back to the 11th chapter and read about Abraham, read about Sarah, read about Noah, read about on and on and on through the chapter. We're surrounded by that great cloud of witnesses that we may lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We're going to have difficulties in life, and we have to ask ourselves what we're going to do about them. But we're also promised peace. I want to read a poem by an author of poetry that is well known from a century or so earlier. It's Peace from Above. When I was troubled and lost in deep despair, I bundle all my troubles up and go to God in prayer. I tell Him I am heartsick and lost and lonely too, that I am deeply burdened and don't know what to do. But I know He stilled the tempest and calmed the angry sea And I humbly ask if in His love He'll do the same for me. Then I just keep quiet and think on thoughts of peace. And as I abide in stillness, my restless murmurings cease. Perseverance. Some of us have it better than others, and by that I mean a fullness of it. But we all need to strive to have that as part of our lives. The lesson this morning has not been a first principles lesson that has emphasized what the Scriptures teach about becoming a child of God. But there may be some in the audience that are already aware of what it means to die with Christ in baptism. And you recognize that you've not done that yet, that you're still actually in darkness with Satan. We would urge you to repent of that. Turn away from Satan. Come to the light of Jesus Christ and confess Him as the Son of God. Let us witness your confessions. Witness your dying with Him in baptism to rise to walk in newness of life. If you're a child of God that desires that we pray with you about some matter, then by all means we want to pray with you. But if you have a need to respond, we invite you to have a seat here at the front as we stand together and as we sing.